That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Welcome to The New Next, a podcast that addresses current events and how they will impact the future. Watching the HBO version of Perry Mason is so weird. I can't get through it quickly because I'm still stuck on Raymond Burr, you know?
Yeah, I love Perry Mason too.
And have you seen the new one at all?
I saw a little bit of it, and like you, yeah. I was just like, this doesn't work for me.
It's really hard to stomach, and I really want to get through the first season at least, but it's I'm like watching an episode once every couple months. That's how slow I'm watching it, because it doesn't feel right for who I want to think of as Perry Mason. Now, that's not good or bad. That's a personal preference. I probably should bring back an article from Parade Magazine. I want to say this was circa 1995, 1996. Marilyn Vos Savant, always had an entry in the Parade Magazine, which was in almost every newspaper, every major newspaper throughout the 80s, 90s, and probably the aughts before Parade Magazine no longer existed. she's one of the highest IQs recorded in history, and would answer people's questions and stuff. And this was about VHS tapes. Someone said, don't you think it's a crime that studios can record up to like 5 hours on a VHS tape, but they only give us 90 minutes of a movie? And she said, yeah, that's one way to think of it. Now, I don't agree with what she's getting ready to say, but I'm getting ready to tell you what she says next. She said, but could you imagine having to see 5 hours of Jim Carrey's Ace Ventura? We're thankful that it was only 88 minutes long. Now, me personally, yes, I kind of would like to see 5 hours of Ace Ventura. But the point is made, like, can you imagine watching Friends still, but not having even the people who made Friends, and that they're just doing the derivative stuff and they're just forcing it in because it makes money. So what's been happening right before the pandemic, this was already starting to happen. The number one, okay, I kind of have to back. It's complicated to say the least. Certain movies make more money than others with low investment, and then there's certain movies that pretty much, if you hit a certain investment level, traditionally it has always made a much higher yield, a much higher return. So the reason why, like, the Marvel movies and even the DC movies, honestly, before things started getting mucky, they were spending, $300 million on the movie, but they're getting close to $1 billion. So they're looking at it, oh, hey, we made $700 million on this. So that's after all the marketing and everything. And that's not even counting the residuals from DVD sales, from T-shirts, from different kind of merchandise. But traditionally, low budget comedies with basically one comedian kind of leading the movie would have the highest yield, because you didn't have to do a lot of fancy stuff. You didn't have to be on location to a certain area. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to have a lot of props and stuff. You just had a comedian and you had a weird story. They might spend a couple million on it and get about $4 million back. So they get, 200% return, or they get a 100%, every dollar they spend, they made $2. It started happening, noticeably started happening in 2017 for me, where they were starting to put less and less comedies out. And when they were putting the comedies, they were making them more action oriented. More
like Jackie Chan style.
Yeah, I'm thinking Kevin Hart stuff specifically, but yeah, Jackie Chan would definitely fit into that. And speaking of Jackie Chan, Rush Hour, the three Rush Hour movies, the amount of money spent to the amount of money made, and is still being made, basically let Chris Tucker retire from acting until he decided he wanted to take another job.
Yeah.
And they,
I mean, those are great though.
Yeah. I mean, they are, but they're also, they weren't meant to be great. Like they were meant to just put something like, hey, let's put martial artist, funny man, Jackie Chan with Chris Tucker, who's just going to make little stereotypical statements and see how it works. Yeah. And it did. It worked great. It was fun. Shanghai Noon and stuff like that didn't work as good, even though it still made money. I mean, it made more money than they spent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, movies were, even though mathematically they were still getting a higher yield on low budget comedies, they're like, we don't want to spend the time and effort with these low budget comedies. So we're going to start nixing them. So now, unless it's a really big budget comedy, you just don't see it, or it's gotten coerced as a comedy with this. So you have kind of like the Jumanji movies where they're comedies, but they're comedy adventure, you know?
Yeah. did you see the Barbie movie?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a comedy?
It was, but it was political satire. It was more satire than it was like straight up. I mean, so it was comedy in the sense that all satire or most satire is comedy. But it wasn't, the purpose of everything was to try to look at how society is based on the society that, the Barbie culture was supposed to originally create. And it was, and I've been saying this to a lot of people, like, I love the movie. I have it tied for my second favorite movie that's released this year. The Spider-Verse 2 movie was my other one. Spider-Verse was more fluff, but really cool graphics and stuff. Barbie was very preachy. Like if it would have been a religious movie, people would be like, oh man, they're preaching at us a whole lot here, but it was still great. I mean, freaking Margot Robbie and, Ryan, Gosling literally hit it out of the park. Michael Cera, who I'm a huge critic of his movies. He has a role in it that is his role. Like he was made for this role. but there's a lot of traces of Lego Movie in it. For good or for bad. And then there's some stuff that, was cute. But like my daughter was so hyped up for it that when we went and watched it, it was hard for her to reconcile like all the hype because she was expecting something else from the hype. But it's still a quality movie. And I really do hope that the leads do get like best actor, actress nominations and stuff, because I felt like they brought a level to those roles that wouldn't necessarily be taken. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is my number one. And it's a comedy, but it's also not a comedy. It's sci-fi. It's a
Spaceballs kind of.
Well, not that.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a relationship comedy in space. Like Spaceballs, no. but so comedies no longer are just comedies anymore, and you find those now. And this is like the cool thing and the bad thing about streaming is the comedies you see on streaming services have the same people in them. And there's some comedies that would have never gotten released, which is like really cool. And I'm a big fan of that, but I feel like the writing, like because they're preparing it for a streaming service, they're not doing the extra check and balance of like, is this going to work for an audience in the same way they did when it was for theater releases. And that saddens me. And I know I'm only speaking about comedies. Action movies are like, the report so far for this year, because movies have taken a huge hit. Like they've been doing all these big budget movies, and which is great for Disney because Disney, Bob Iger's like, all these things I've been saying about Iger for years are like coming true under his watch right now. Yeah. He's like, well, maybe we need to be more careful about the kind of movie you release. It's like, you think?
After maybe you went out and just bought everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and a lot of people are scared right now, and you know, I get it. But Bob Iger, Warner Brothers, DC, like they're like, well, we're losing money because of the strikes and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, because, you guys are only offering you're offering a waiter like 5 cents more an hour. So instead of $2.13 an hour, you're offering them $2.18 an hour while you're bringing in billions. And yeah. Even when you guys lose money on movies, you can write it as a tax write-off. But the person that plays the waiter for one scene gets their $5, you know, their $50 for the day, but they were in there for 16 hours and they got $50. They're just asking for a fair rate, of how much time they spent on set to get paid for that. Whether it gets cut or not is a whole other thing. And, writers the same way. And, I mean, you know me, I'm very much for people getting higher wages for the work they do. If they do quality work, they should get quality pay. And the quality shouldn't be 100, even in entertainment, quality shouldn't be judged 100% by the audience's reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's lots of great things that we go back years later and like, oh wow, that really was a quality book, or that was a quality movie or a quality piece of art. We just didn't appreciate it in the time because of the weirdness of the world.
If you would like to learn more about the New Next Podcast, find us at thenewnextpodcast.com, where you can suggest a topic you would like for us to cover. If you enjoyed what you heard, share the podcast, tell a friend about it, or rate us with 5 stars.